My name is Muhammad. I'm a Great Truth Organizer. I thank the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I thank everyone in here for my recovery. I have an accent, but it's getting better. But I know the message. It's a simple message. You know, I used in Africa, and a lot of geeking in those woods. You know, you don't want to use there because there's a lot of jungle noise. But, I was born into a family. I came from a polygamous family. And when I sit sometimes and I hear people talk on TV, these so-called experts about polygamy, you know, how can you love your kids with so many wives? And how can you tell me about something you don't have any experience about? You know, and that's what I'm trying to, you know, my sponsor is helping me tie with this thing called recovery. Because all I can tell you is my story. You know, my sponsor, God bless my sponsor, man. I have a good sponsor. My sponsor is leaving this program. You know, and my sponsor kind of guides me on trying to share my experience and not trying to glamorize this disease. Because when you clap for me too much, you know, I can feel good again. Like I used to smoke crack and feel good. You know, and escape the reality of the disease of addiction. I came from a very good family, man. My parents never did anything wrong. They raised me well. I came from a higher middle class family in Africa. My mom, my dad, they gave me everything. They taught me how to pray. And as one of 24 kids, my father had five wives. And he's always up in the suburbs. He was a diamond miner, trying to make a living for us. And this man will get home every other month to see us, and he will be sitting on the dining table looking at all these kids and just go down with his head and shake his head. I see how tough that is because I have a daughter and a granddaughter now. You know, people don't live in Africa with salary like here in this country. And I always share that I'm so grateful to the United States of America. If you don't understand what I mean, you know, this is all you know maybe. Because I come from a very, very, very poor place. You know, and because this is where I found recovery. You know, and I get emotional sometimes because but I'm trying to balance and kind of manage my emotions in recovery, you know. So anyway, I grew up in that family and my dad would do the best he can. But for some reason, everyone was doing the right thing. I was the only one that went to the left. And as I stay in this process, more has been revealed to me through my step work. You know, that everything that I really kind of followed through, my addiction started way before I picked up.
Yeah.
You know, and I was denying that a lot. You know, and then eventually my mother got tired of me using back home. I sold drugs and never got locked up because back in Africa, if you have money, you don't go to jail, period. You know, so my mom, I'm the baby to my mom. My mom had 9 kids. My mom decided to send me over to the United States. And that's all I dreamt about, to come to this country. This is a beautiful country, man. This is the greatest country on earth. If you don't believe me, travel. I'm telling you. You know, so I came here and my disease took off. You know, I stayed with my brother for 2 months. I landed here December the 15th, 1985. And I used, and my brothers kicked me out of the house. And I ended up on a bus stop in Langley Park, Maryland. And the guy that was sitting next to me, everything I had was in a plastic bag. 2 months in the United States. I came from a country of 5 million people. And I said, no, I got to survive. I can't beg nobody. You know, that ego, that macho man stuff that I have to really watch in this recovery thing. This addiction piece, for me, can sidestep you with your ego and thinking that you know it all. You know, and my sponsor always remind me, everything starts and ends with me. Muhammad, the disease is inside of you, brother. You know, it's an inside job. And then I stood there and I saw this Jamaican guy and I asked him for a cigarette, and that's when he started teaching me how to hustle. He said, well, you can stay with me, but you got to work. You know, I stayed out there and I got shot in 1992. I went into a coma. And I came out. I was in a coma for 91 days. You know, I was so high, the doctor told me that, you know, when I was given the anesthesia during the surgery, I just started shaking. So they gave me a self-induced coma. So I stayed under for 91 days and I came back out and used. And I said at Washington Hospital Center that I would never smoke again. I convinced myself. I would never use again. And I came out and I used. And I was introduced to this program then at a place called Metropolis Club. And I remember a lady down there, she's gone now, Aletha. She used to say, boy, when you get a good ass whipping, you know, I used to say, what is this lady talking about, you know? And say you will surrender. I didn't know what surrender was. You know, I come from a very egotistic, chauvinistic attitude. You know, and I'm able to admit that today, that where I came from and that macho stuff can make me feel like I'm better than. But I'm getting better though, because I'm reminded that this disease is incurable, but we do get better. You know, so I came out of that and eventually I kept using, and I went to a program called the Phoenix House. That's my first recovery program. And I went to Phoenix House. I stayed there for 3 months. I used. And I came back. I got beaten again. I went to detox. I went back to another program called Crossroads, an 18-month intensive program. They put you in front of the mirror, you tell yourself the truth. You know, I stayed there for 9 months and I jumped ship. I ran away, you know. And my mother, you know, she was just so devastated. She came from Africa and looked for me. And she brought a potion of... You know, this is really my story. You know, my mother, you know, back home we believe in black magic. You know, we believed. I'm able to say believed. Because as I tie this up, you see how much change you guys have put in me, you know. And my mother brought this voodoo potion that she said, the man that worked for the president said, if you drink this, you would never use again. Right? And man, I drank that potion convinced that I'm never going to use again, right? And I came out of the program, and one day I was on 14th and Euclid Street. And I said, let me see if this thing really works. Man, my dealer wasn't too far away. And when I relapsed, that's the first day I was using and crying. The disease really jumped on me, and face to face, I knew I had a deeper problem than drugs. You know, so I said, man, I got to get this together, right? And now I didn't go to any treatment program. I just started going to meetings, and I stayed clean for 7 years. In that process, not doing any step work, stayed clean. In that process, I managed to go to nursing school. You know, bought a big house, huge, got a pit bull, got a nice car. And I'm not trying to glamorize, I'm trying to tell you how if you stay in this program for me, and I don't try to leave these principles and practice a new way of life, the same old me would smoke crack. And all this would be nothing. You know, my recovery comes first. Even between my daughter and my granddaughter. I love them. But when I use, you don't want to see Muhammad, trust me. You know, I have to learn and understand myself. I have to discover myself through a sponsor and the steps. Anyway, I got married. Everything was falling in place, man. Money in the bank. And one day I just decided to hang around Southeast. And this is the truth. I'm not picking anything anybody has shared. I put $50 in my socks. I had 10,000, some few hundred in the bank. I put $50. I said, that's all I'm going to smoke. No, I'm serious, man. I mean, wow. You know, that's why sometimes when people share, we laugh, you know, and you don't know that probably somebody's sitting there and saying, wow, I went through the same thing. Because we do have the same disease. One disease and one recovery. And one program. I went down to Southeast, man. I stayed there for 6 months. I smoked all that money. My wife, I came home, I ran away. Because I wasn't even answering the phone. I don't answer phones. I isolate, you know. But I went back home, and the house was on foreclosure. Eventually, I lost the house. You know, I managed not to lose my license. You know, finally, September the 12th, 2009, I surrendered. I want to tell you, the last day I used, you know, I had all the drugs in the world. And because God had afforded me to become a nurse, I knew the signs of death. You know, I was having something called tachycardia. My heart was racing so high. And I was getting blurry, you know, vision. And I knew I was about to pass out or get a heart attack. It would go up and down, my heart rate. And I just fell on the ground. And I cried. I said, God, help me. I'm tired. And that's when I surrendered. And since that day, God has blessed me with a great sponsor. I'm working the steps. You know, I'm trying to live the program to the best of my ability. You know, and I'm so grateful to this program. I'm so grateful to you people. you know, forget about the accent. The disease don't give a damn. I'm telling you, doesn't care. You know, everybody in my family, man, I was the outcast. They coming to me. My nephews and nieces are using all that new stuff, K2, and my sisters call me. You know, I have a scar where I was shot 4 times. I was going to put a tattoo in. My sponsor told me, Muhammad, don't do it. That is a mark for you from God, man. Keep that. Because what it does, every time I take a shower, man, because I can forget real quick. The disease don't care how much time you got. Doesn't care. This is a relentless disease. You know, it grows if you don't treat it. You know, I love you guys, and God bless you. Thank you for letting me share.